Good morning and welcome. We're so glad to have you join us again this morning. At the beginning of this year, I gave a two-part message on vision and hope for 2020 as we entered a brand new venture with our new leadership team. I spoke then of God's vision of who He wants us to be, His image on the earth. And the second half of that message on hope was about Slough Church being and bringing the hope of that vision to our neighborhoods. Then the world went into lockdown mode with the onslaught of the COVID pandemic, and it seemed that there was no hope for months. Now I want to get into today's message with, first of all, this spelling of COVID, C-O-V-I-D. Christ overcomes viruses, infections, and diseases. That is our hope for the future. This is the stance we must take, trusting in God's loving care for us in all things. Now, I'm going to be bringing another two-part message today and next week to help us get ready for the reopening of in-person worship services. And today, I want to look at where we are right now. So buckle up and let's dive in. Recently, I viewed a video on Facebook of a two-year-old child throwing a temper tantrum, screaming and flailing his arms all about, sitting on the floor, kicking his heels up and down, a full-blown meltdown. And right beside him was his dad, just sitting quietly, patiently, waiting for the child to work through his very negative emotions. Dad didn't scold or punish the child while he was going through all this traumatic emotional exhibition, but he just sat patiently waiting. From time to time, Dad would reach over to keep the child from injuring his feet while banging them up and down on the hard floor. Just gently touch him, not restraining him, but letting the child know that he was there. At one point, the child turned to the father and started flapping his arms like he was going to hit the dad, but never really connected. And Dad just sat there, allowing the child to get it all out of his system. Eventually, the son, still wailing and crying loudly, climbed up onto Dad, but still didn't stop the outburst. Dad wrapped his arms around the toddler, not tightly, just barely touching him, but encircling him so that he wouldn't fall to the floor if the tantrum continued. Finally, at the end of the clip, the child put his arms around Daddy's neck, still weeping and crying loudly, but finally at last turning to the father for comfort. Dad, at that point, hugged the boy to his chest, soothing him by rubbing his back and head, while the child continued to cry, coming out of the worst of his traumatic and dramatic tantrum. I was so impressed with the similarities of how Father God deals with us in our traumatic meltdowns. He sits there patiently waiting while we kick and scream, tears flowing, snot streaming, faces all ugly and contorted, while we try to work out our frustrations, our heartaches, our inability to understand what's actually going on with us. He absorbs our anger, our accusations that He doesn't really care about us at all, that He's cold-hearted, and that we don't deserve this kind of treatment from whatever situation we find ourselves in. You see, none of that phases God. For just like the father in that video clip, He's letting us work out our frustrations, waiting patiently for us to recognize that He is still right there, still loving us, still protecting us, still allowing us to express our emotional upheaval without censoring us or punishing us for our humanity. I haven't seen a video in a long time that equaled this one in the power of its visual spiritual teaching. Now, how often do we find ourselves in that same place of pitching a fit, as we used to call it back home, demanding that God give us what we want, when we want it, the way we want it? This sometimes happens when we must move on, or if we must stay still, or if there's something that's pinpointed to us that needs to change in our walk with Him. For the most part, we humans hate change, or if change is inevitable, we want it on our terms, in our way of understanding. You ever get that way? I do. How have we reacted emotionally over the pandemic lockdowns during most of this past year? The isolations, the shieldings or quarantines. I know I haven't handled them constantly with that much grace, but I am so glad that Father God is just like Dad in that video. Patient, solid, trustworthy, even if I don't get my way. Forgiving of my emotional outbursts. And now that we're close to coming back together as a congregation, how are we going to cope with all the health and safety guidelines? Are we going to pitch a fit and refuse to comply? Are we going to grouse and grumble all the way through till our new normal isn't new any longer, but just normal? And let's look at how that affects the rest of our walk of faith. A couple of weeks ago, in a welcome message, I used the scripture, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's in Romans 8:38-39. So if this is true, how will we handle changes? What happens to our faith when we face challenging situations? What happens to our love everyone we meet when someone has a diametrically opposite viewpoint from ours? What happens when we do let another creature separate us from the love of God? What happens when we let a pandemic rob us of our faith in His ability to heal and to continue to love us? Will we become like this little child, kicking and screaming for things to be the way we want them? Will we blame Father God for all the hurt and heartache we're experiencing? Just how persuaded are we that God loves us? And what does that love look like? I remember reading The Hiding Place years and years ago. And it's the story of Corey and Betsy Ten Boom during the Holocaust and how they helped hide persecuted Jews from the Nazis. Her family were all arrested and sent to concentration camps for their Christian attitudes in helping these people. Somehow they received a deck of playing cards, probably through the Red Cross, and Corey tells of how she spent hours playing solitaire until she realized that she was giving power to those cards to predict the way that the days, the weeks would go. If the cards were against her, meaning she was on a losing streak, then the guards would also be horrible that day, and God was against her too. If the cards were for her and she was on a winning streak, then the guards would treat her with a bit of dignity, and she felt that God was smiling down on her. Then one day she realized that the cards were holding way too much power over her relationship with God, who was her Father in all things. She knew that even in the middle of the concentration camp, deprived of freedom, the loss of her father, family, and home, no matter what the cards did in that game, nothing could separate her from God's love. Now, how do we show that same kind of behavior? Oh, I lost my job. God, you don't love me anymore. Oh, my child is involved with drugs and all sorts. God, you don't love me anymore. Oh, I had a flat tire on the way to the store today. God, you don't love me anymore. Oh, we have a pandemic and I have to wear a mask if we open church. God, you don't love me anymore. Do we really believe all of that? Or are we just a bit smarter than that? Do we really believe that verse in Romans? Are we persuaded? Do we throw tantrums when all is bleak? Or do we stop, settle, and stay? Stop the emotional tantrum. Settle in our minds and spirits that God has a good plan for us and stay on course in the place where He has put us. This is part of our core church passion, looking on the face of Christ. Not just glancing up to the skies during our oh-so-holy prayer time and thinking that we have looked on His face. No, looking on the face of Christ is to look into the heart of God. Looking on the face of Christ is to understand that even in our suffering, He is still with us. Looking on the face of Christ is to be fully persuaded that nothing can take us out of His embrace, even as Jesus was persuaded. He was fully persuaded that God was His loving Father, even with all the world turning their backs on Him, even as he was dying in the middle of that crucifixion for those very same people. This is why we can be fully persuaded that nothing, nothing will take us out of his hand, his heart, and his plan. I found this poem recently, and it really encouraged me to understand the partnership between the Father and me. I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. He said it was not for him to take away, but for me to give up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole, and God said no. He said her spirit is whole. Her body is only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience, and God said no. He said that patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted. It's earned. I asked God to give me happiness, and God said no. He said he gives blessings. Happiness is up to me. I asked God to spare me pain, and God said no. He said suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow, and he said no. He said, I must grow on my own, but he will prune me to make me fruitful. I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. And God said, ah, finally you get the idea. And this is the second of our church values. Love everyone we meet. How have we actually loved others during all the days and weeks and months of lockdown? Have we prayed for them? Oh, I'm certain we have occasionally prayed, but have you told people that you're praying for them? Have you called them and let them know in some way or another that they're important enough in your life to pray for them? Yes, we all need prayer, that kind of prayer support that lifts our spirits, that lets us know we matter, that speaks of our importance in someone else's life. To know that someone is speaking to the Father God about you, about your hurts, your problems, your joys, your heartaches, your victories, pleading for mercy, comfort, and wisdom as you prepare to meet another day. That is such an encouraging thought. To know that someone is praying for your healing in body, soul, and spirit. That someone is actually beseeching God for your prosperity and not your downfall. That someone cares enough to take time from their devotion to God on their own behalf, to spend precious time before the throne on your behalf. What a joy that is to know. Then to be able to hear when the Lord gives them a word from the scriptures that is absolutely a word in due season, especially sent from the Holy Spirit just for you. Oh my, what a gift that is, both from the Father and from the person who has prayed for you. Sometimes we're so embroiled in our own mess and misery that we can't see any hope anywhere. But then comes along our friend and ta-da, there is a word from God saying, you hang in there, kid. Your victory's on the way. I remember seeing a picture online somewhere that said, I was so done with life that I threw in the towel. God threw it back and said, wipe your face, girl. We're almost there. So even if you can't meet face to face with your loved ones, you can call, you can text, you can post something on social media where there's no social distancing, and that will break the back of their hopelessness and bring them one step closer to the victory that they need. So reach out there where your loved ones may be in a darker place than you, and love them. Now, we're coming to a point where we may be able to gather together again in a couple of weeks, depending on the government regulations. And how will we be able to show our love for each other as we come back into our building? We will be sending out the detailed guidelines that we have identified as essential to our opening safely. So be looking out for that so you can be prepared to attend services once we're back in the building. This adherence to the health and safety regulations will be one way of showing our love for our brothers and sisters here in our church family. This will help fulfill the second of our church values, love everyone we meet. And finally, how can we extend our new normal into the realm of living like heaven is near? That makes up the third prong of our river values. How can we expect and exhibit that idea now? First of all, is heaven not having to wear masks to church or being able to sing out loud? Is heaven not having a pandemic at all? Is heaven being protected from all medical alarms and tighter regulations and confusing information coming from all sides? We've been studying the book of Acts both as Slough Church and from River as a whole. So let's remind ourselves of how the early church lived this out in their lives. They were not allowed to meet together. They were persecuted on every side, and at the very beginning by people they had known all their lives, and by the very religious leaders that they looked to for guidance in their immediate past. They were chased and hunted down like animals. They were humiliated and killed in the most bizarre ways for the amusement of those in power. And how did they meet those horrific attacks? They met in unexpected places. They prayed many long hours. They listened to the good news day and night from the very ones who had walked with Jesus physically before his victorious death, resurrection, and ascension. They encouraged one another with songs and psalms of victory, of hope. They listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit when he spoke through prophecy. They were fully persuaded that God still loved them through any and all of these trials and tribulations. And even before that, in Hebrews chapter 11, we read of the heroes of faith. In verse 13, the writer says this of those who died even before Jesus came on the earth. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. There's that word persuaded again. Are you persuaded that God's promises will come to pass for your life? And if not, are you persuaded that his promises are still true even so? There's a phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, for that to have any kind of context, we have to see what God's will in heaven actually is. Here's one hint. In Revelation 21, chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither will there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And that speaks of our glorified bodies. Not here, but there. Here's another from Micah chapter 4. "And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law goes out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he'll judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they'll beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So that speaks of peace in all circumstances. And in chapter 4 of Revelations, we see how power and glory and praise and honor was given to God continuously. So for God's will in heaven to be done on earth, we start at the ending and work backwards. We praise God first. We don't start with the miracle and then praise him. We start with surrender. We cast our own crowns at his feet, the crown of wanting what we want, the crown of trying to understand what's going on, the crown of "bless me, God, or I won't praise you." That's our independence, and the crown of our temper tantrums. Remember that not only is God the Alpha and Omega, but he is also the Omega and the Alpha, the God of endings as well as beginnings. He is God in all things, the first and the last, the last and the first. So as we move into a new era of church services, let's go in expecting to meet the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in new ways. Like that old TV commercial, this is not your father's Oldsmobile. This is not the church that we have always known. It's a new era, a new way of doing things, a new way of worship, a new way of testimony to the goodness of God, a new vision to be cast as we move forward. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking about how we can tap into this new vision for how we can partner together with God going forward, of how we can embrace change and be happy about it instead of throwing temper tantrums because things don't look like normal. In the meantime, stop, settle, and stay. Stop the enemy from taking over in your mind with all sorts of negative emotions. Settle in your spirit that God is still good all the time, in times of pleasant normalities and the hard times of change. And stay. Stay connected to each other, connected to the Holy Spirit, and stay on the course that God has laid out for you and the church in this new season. Amen.